very interesting day coming out here and following down power lines all over this part of West Virginia, finding people back here that don't have power.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hey folks, I'm Chuck Holton. Thanks for watching The Hot Zone. It's a short and going to have a really quick one for you today because I'm doing something really interesting this week. I've kind of got a little side gig and I'm getting a great education on just how difficult it is to keep the power grid up and running. I'm out flying my drone, looking at power lines that are down from the big ice storm that hit West Virginia last week. It's been a week now. Some of these people have gone 7 days without power almost. And so the power company's working really hard to try to get the power on for everybody. And they're calling in people from all over the place to help with that process. And it is a process. I'm learning a lot about it. It's been surprising, some of the things that I've learned. And one of them is that there are a lot of people in West Virginia who don't actually have power. It's pretty surprising. But I've gotten to fly my drone a lot over some really beautiful landscape, lots of ice on the trees. Holy smokes. We've been driving in some very remote and rural areas, looking at power lines, trying to figure out where they're down and trying to make reports so that the crews can come in, clean them up, cut down the trees, and get it back online. It might not surprise you, or it might, to learn just how vulnerable the U.S. power grid actually is. And I made a documentary about that a few years ago called The Fight for Light. And so I'm going to show you one episode of a three-part series today about the fight for light, because it's very eye-opening when you start to realize just how vulnerable the power grid is. There's a train going by outside. That's exciting. All right. So here it is, and we'll see you again next time on The Hot Zone.
International terrorist organizations will stop at nothing to hurt America and Americans. But it's not just bombs and bullets we need to be concerned about. Our enemies have proven time and again they're remarkably creative at accomplishing their evil goals. Over the next several weeks, our Frontlines team will explore some of America's critical infrastructure upon which all of us depend. We'll take a look at vulnerabilities that could cripple our country. Get a pen and paper. This is one Frontline series that will make you want to take notes.
It's something most Americans completely take for granted. You flip a switch, the lights come on. Electrical power has become so deeply integrated into our lives, most of us rarely give it a second thought until it goes off. The American power grid has been called the largest machine on Earth, but growing demand on an aging infrastructure means the U.S. grid suffers more blackouts than any other developing country. Increased incidents of severe weather do nothing to make things better. Silicon Valley. Many of America's most critical companies are based here. Within their walls work many of America's most innovative people. But the whole thing is based on one simple assumption, that the power will always stay on. But the day after the Boston Marathon bombing 2 years ago, an attack happened nearby that gave many people reason to rethink the things they've always taken for granted.
The power substation you see behind me belongs to Pacific Gas and Electric. It's just south of Silicon Valley and provides much of the electricity for that area. Back on April 16th of 2013, right behind me occurred what's been called the most significant domestic terror event on the power grid in history.
There was an outage. A large number of the transformers didn't work, and people woke up to realize that their electricity was off in a lot of circumstances. They figured out that a group of young men had, in a very disciplined fashion, showed up in the middle of the night. They took firing positions with guns that looked somewhat like AK-47s in such a place as to be able to knock out the transformers. And they targeted them one by one, and in a very few minutes had knocked out about 90% of them.
They also knew how to get into an underground tunnel and cut particular communications cables so that they could cut off the transformer substation from the police and fire department, from first responders.
These thick woods are just about 150 yards from the wall of the power substation where the attack took place. And it's most likely that the team of gunmen moved through these woods, this is at midnight, and set up on these knolls, because from here they have a perfect shot over the wall at the transformers that they were filling full of holes with their 30 caliber weapons. This being the spot, they probably were able to get away very quickly and easily, and that's why, even despite a $250,000 reward, no trace has ever been found of the gunman.
The Metcalf incident was a case of sabotage that the North American Electric Reliability Corporation initially tried to cover up and described it as an act of vandalism. This wasn't some kind of a amateur job. You know, the U.S. Navy SEALs said that this was a professional job. It's the way they would have done it. You know, they found evidence that there were pre-prepared firing positions. These guys had studied the layout. They knew exactly where to go, and they managed to escape. I mean, the cops showed up on the scene, and these guys just disappeared into the night.
I think the thing that is most disconcerting about this attack on the Metcalf station is just the highly organized nature of the attack. It was accomplished by a group of gunmen firing heavy caliber weapons. They cost over $50 million worth of damage to the transformers that they shot out. But the greater cost just to Pacific Gas and Electric is over $100 million because of the increase in security measures that they have to institute at all of their substations across the board. 7,000 power plants make up three large power grids across the United States and are linked together by over 400,000 miles of transmission lines, much of it installed shortly after World War II. Security was a very low priority back then. After all, who would try to take out a power company? But we live in a very different world today. The U.S. grid faces threats both at home, from overseas enemies, and even from outer space. And the power companies are playing catch-up in making their network secure. Pacific Gas and Electric made big changes to the security of the Metcalf station after the attack, but nearly 2 years later, the site was struck a second time. There are a few clues as to who was behind the attack, but some speculate it could have been a special ops team belonging to one of America's enemies sent to test our weaknesses.
Parties unknown, unidentified, you know, broke into the substation and actually stole some of the surveillance equipment that these guys were in the process of installing. They already had surveillance equipment up there, but the vandals managed not to get on camera somehow. And their excuse was, well, this was vandalism again, okay? But suppose the industry is right and the second incident was vandalism. I pray to God they're wrong about that, because that says, you know, that after they supposedly spent hundreds of millions of dollars and turned the Metcalf substation into the Rock of Gibraltar of the electric power grid, that grossly incompetent vandals can still overcome their security and break in and steal their own security equipment. That's an even worse scenario than if it was a revisit. At least they'd have an excuse if it was professionals back on the scene again. John Wellinghoff, who had been the chairman of the U.S. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and the U.S. Navy SEALs who were brought into this, concluded that this was probably an exercise, a dry run for a larger attack on the United States eventually, that they probably deliberately didn't go all the way to knock out those transformers. They just wanted to see how far they could get away with. The electric power industry credits itself with, oh, they saved the transformers. They didn't save the transformers. These guys just decided that they weren't going to go all the way and destroy those transformers.
If you want to understand the threat to the American power network, you've got to understand the grid itself. To do that, we're going to take you here to the deserts of Nevada in the next episode of Frontlines.
Terrorists already know about vulnerabilities in America's power grid. In our next episode, we'll hear from those who are urging America's politicians to address these problems. We'll also show you a threat that could take down the entire grid. I'm Oliver North, and that's all in the next episode of Frontlines.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.